2 Kings chapter 7, we read a few verses tonight, 1 through 19, but I'm going to set up the story tonight, so bear with me. It says, Elisha replied, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says, by this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will cost only one piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain will cost only one piece of silver. The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. Verse 2 says, but Elisha replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat of it. Now there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, but if we, with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Armenian army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyways. Verse 5, so at twilight, they got out for the camp, set out for the camp of the Armenians. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Armenian army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us. They cried one to another, and they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Verse 9, finally they said to each other, this is not right. This is the day of good news, and we aren't sharing with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace. So when they went back to the city and told the gatekeeper what had happened, we went out to Armenian camp, and they said no one was there. The horses and donkeys were tethered, and the tents were all in order, but there wasn't a single person around. Then the gatekeeper shouted the news to the people in the palace. Take a pause for just a second before I catch my breath. Verse 12 says, the king got out of the bed in the middle of the night and told his officers, I know what has happened. The Armenian army knew we were starving, so they had left their camp and had hidden in the fields. They're expecting us to leave the city, and then they will take us alive and capture the city. One of the other officers replied, we had better send out scouts to check into this. Let them find 5 remaining horses. If something happened to them, it will be no more worse than if we stay here and die with the rest of us. So the 2 chariots with horses were prepared, and the king sent scouts to see what had happened to the Armenian army. Then they went out all the way to the Jordan River, following a trail of clothing and equipment that the Armenians had thrown away in their mad rush to escape. The scouts returned and told the king about it. 3 more verses and we'll be done. Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Armenian camp. So it was true, 5 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver. 10 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. He never fails, does he, church? The king appointed his officer to control the traffic at the gate, but he was knocked down and trampled to death as the people rushed out. So everything happened exactly as the man of God had predicted when the king came to his house. The man of God had said to the king, by this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will cost 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain will cost 1 piece of silver. The king's officer had replied, that couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened up the windows of heaven. And the man of God said, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat of it. And so it was, for the people trampled him to death at the gates. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. And Lord, we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to come to your house, Lord. I pray, Father, that your word, Lord, it goes forth, Lord. Father, your word says that it goes forth and it will not return void. Lord, I pray for your anointing tonight, Lord. I pray that I will get out of the way. Holy Spirit, have your way. In your name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. I would say you could be seated, but you're already seated. Amen. I love this story in the Bible. This story has always fascinated me. There's a lot of things going on in this story. A lot of different things going on at one time. And we first find out that there's a severe famine in the land of Samaria, in the kingdom of Samaria. And we find out in the next chapter that famine had been going on for 7 years. And to understand what's going on, we have to lay the backdrop of the story. So when you look back in verse 6, of 2 Kings, you find the backdrop of the story that King Ben-Hadad king of Aram, came and besieged the land of Samaria. He basically blocked off the town of Samaria and the kingdom of Samaria, and nobody could get in and get out, and that's why they were starving. And a famine for 7 years was going on. And this caused, again, food to be scarce. And when food runs low, people get crazy, amen? We've seen that with the whole pandemic. If you come over to my house with four teenagers, I got five kids, but one's in college, so I don't have to worry about her right now, even though I have to send her money, because she's already ran out of money, but I'm wanting food. But four kids, and food gets low and scarce. When there's one piece of pizza left, you know, the fight's on. And it's probably that way at your house. But when food gets scarce, people get crazy. I know when I'm hungry, I get angry. They tell my kids tell me all the time. My wife tells me I'm hangry. Well, feed me and I won't be. Amen? We see it play out in chapter 6, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25. It says, as a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver and a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. This was desperate times. Amen? One commentary that I read says a shekel of silver was worth approximately $6.80. So if you do the math, that makes a donkey head fetching a price of $544. That's an expensive donkey head, amen? That's not even good meat. A cup of dove poop, as we say in normal language, would be approximately $34. Can someone say that's price gouging? And what they're doing with that, I have no idea. But that's expensive, amen? People were desperate. They were starving. In fact, it even gets worse. The people got so desperate that they resulted to cannibalism. And you know what that is? Eating each other. And in this group, this basically getting to the cannibalism was the breaking point. The king of Israel was walking along the city wall one day and he heard a cry from a woman. And this is found in chapter 6. And she just cried out to him and she began to explain her situation. She said her and another lady were talking and they were starving and they agreed that they were going to cook their sons. They were going to kill their sons and cook them and eat them. So the one lady did that. She killed her son, cooked him and ate him, and they both ate him. But when it came time for the other lady to do that, she said no, she would have no part of it. She hid her son. And so this lady was complaining to the king. And this outraged the king. And why he wasn't doing anything before this, I don't understand why, Pastor. But here he was. This outraged him. He got mad. He got upset. And so he began to get furiated. And he began to say, if God's going to strike me down tomorrow, if I don't have Elisha's head by tomorrow. That's basically what he said in my terminology. The church, he was just looking for a scapegoat, someone to blame. Because he should have been doing something before this. Amen?
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like liberals. Did I say that? Truth hurts sometimes, doesn't it, church? King was looking for somebody to blame, and he wanted to kill Elisha. But there's one problem with this. Elisha wasn't just your average Joe prophet.
No.
He was anointed of God, amen?
Yes,
he's the man of God. This dude had a double portion of the Lord and the anointing on him. Remember? He was the protege of Elijah. When he gets to talk about Elisha and Elijah, it's hard to keep them straight, amen? But Elisha was the protege of Elijah. Elijah was the mentor. And Elijah got the double portion. And we find right here that that double portion is working in his life. Because this king decided he was going to kill Elisha. He was going to be the scapegoat for this famine, for this his people starved and couldn't get food. So he decided that he was going to send an assassin to go to Elisha's house. The Bible says that Elisha was at his house with some other prophets, and he was sitting there, and he told them. In fact, it says 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 32 through 33, says Elisha was sitting in his house with the elders of Israel when the king sent a messenger to summon him. But before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "A murderer has been sent, a man to cut off my head, and when he arrives, shut the door and keep him out. We will soon hear the master's steps following him." Verse 33, while Elisha was still saying this, the messenger arrived, and the king said, "All this misery is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Elisha was sitting there with the prophets, and he had no idea on his own other than the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God told him that the king was sending somebody, an assassin, to cut his head off. And he seen it coming through the Spirit. And then the king came and showed up. And then when the king gets there, he just confesses to Elisha. He says, "All this misery is from the Lord. Why should I even wait any longer?" And the plot had failed, that the king had tried to kill Elisha. But church, aren't we like this, the king sometimes? When our situation gets desperate, a lot of times we blame the Lord, amen? Instead of running to the Lord, we begin to blame Him. Why didn't it happen this way? Why didn't this take place? It's your fault, God. I've been there, amen? I mean, we're not too sanctified that we can admit that tonight. We begin to blame Him. That's what the king did. When things don't happen the way we want them to, we have a picture of how it should happen in our mind. And when that doesn't take place, we begin to blame God.
Yeah.
Or blame the pastor. Or blame the worship team. Or the Sunday school teacher. Somebody we can blame besides ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We say, why wait on the Lord? It's His fault. That's what the king said. But church, my God never fails. Amen? Not one time has He failed. His track record is perfect. Did you hear me tonight? His track record is perfect. My favorite football team in college, Razorbacks, aren't perfect, even though they're having a good year. They're not perfect. My favorite NFL team is not perfect. My favorite baseball team is not perfect. Those are just sports. They don't even matter in the scheme of things. There's nothing in this life that's perfect, but our God is perfect. His track record is perfect, church, and He will never fail you. Amen? Look it up. Look it up. Look it up in the history books. There's history of people that are failed. I know my voice is cracked, but my boys did. My 14-year-old boys, I love them. I'm a little embarrassed, and their voices are cracking left and right. And mine just did that. Lord, help me. We blame this on the Lord, but the Lord has never failed us. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change with the times. COVID hasn't caught Him off guard. This time, the election back in November didn't catch Him off guard. Church, He never fails. His ways are higher than ours. And sometimes we don't understand those ways. When we have something that we need or some situation and it doesn't pan out the way we want it to, we don't understand it, but God does. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 55:8-9, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Think about that. He is God. He created the universe. He created it all. And His ways are so much higher than our ways. And we think we know what's best. And it should turn out the way we want it to. Verse 9 says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my soul or my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So instead of killing the prophet, the king gets a message instead. He thought he was going to go there and kill this prophet. Take out some vengeance. Take out some frustration. And instead, he gets a word of God from the Lord directly at the king. The Bible says that Elisha says, this time tomorrow, the famine's going to be over. Food's going to be restored, and the price gouging will stop. This time tomorrow, 24 hours, this will happen. Remember, 7 years this famine had been going on.
Right.
They were starving. In 24 hours, this sounded crazy. This sounded crazy to everybody. In fact, there was an unnamed officer that spoke up that was beside the king, and he said, there's no way this will happen. And you can't blame him too much because he was right there in the midst of it. It's easy for us to say, you know, we can see God prevail and God take care of him. But when you're in the middle of the struggle, when you're in the middle of desperation, it's hard to believe sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
If we get real tonight, and this unnamed officer said, there's no way that's going to happen. He said, even if the Lord opened up heaven and poured out the windows of heaven, it's not going to happen. The church, God will not be mocked.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
Listen to the second part of the message. It said, not only will this man get to see it,
uh-huh,
and it will happen, but he will not get to partake of it. He'll get to see it, and it's going to take place, but he won't even get to take part of it.
Right. Yes, sir.
Man, what a word. 7 years of famine, and in 24 hours, it's going to be over. There was food. There was no food in the city. There were cannibalism going on. When people were walking down the street and they met somebody else and they had a good look at them, they weren't looking to date them. They were looking to eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we were at.
Yeah.
I heard that, Pastor. That was good. That's pretty scary if you're wanting to be. But folks, we can't imagine that. But that happened.
Yeah.
That's real. People were so desperate. And sometimes we get to that place. Hopefully never that we're going to eat somebody. Church, when God speaks it, when God declares it, when thus saith the Lord, you better get out a marker, you better mark it.
That's right.
Because it's going to happen. Amen? When God says it, when he declares it, when he, thus saith the Lord, it's going to happen. You better mark it, you better get ready, because it's going to happen, because the Lord never fails. He never fails. When he told him tomorrow at this time. Remember, 7 years they've been in famine. They were starving. They were eating each other. They were. A donkey's head was over $500. Inflation, price gouging. And in one day, this was going to take place. When God speaks it, it's going to happen. If God declares a person will be healed, even if it's the greatest doctors in the world says it won't happen, church, it will happen. Because my God never fails. He never fails. If God declares that you will get a lost child back, that he'll come back. If you raised him in the house of God, and God has promised you that he'll come back or she'll come back, you better get ready, because they will come back. It may not be when you think it. I know a lot of times when God promises stuff, we want it right now. But it may not happen right now, but it will happen. So get ready. It may not look like we want it to. It may not feel like we want it to, but it's going to happen. And it may not go down like we want it to, but it's going to happen. Because God is God, and he will use the most unlikely people or things to make it happen. Amen?
Yes, sir. That's right. Real nice noble. We're just saying, sweating like crazy. If you didn't see what happened, I just dumped half this water on me. I just need to cool down.
Rachel.
We'll scratch that. We'll just scratch that. It actually felt pretty good, though, because it's getting a little hot up here. God is God, and he will use the most unlikely people to bring this to pass. Amen. About the same time, there were four lepers. We don't know their names. We just know that they're at the edge of town because they had a disease. And we know from the Bible that they were sent to the edge of town, away from the people. So they were down there at the edge of the town. They were lepers. And they began to say to themselves, you know what? We might as well go and surrender to the army, to this visiting of the Arminians. If we stay here, we're going to die. There's no food. We might as well, if they kill us on the way, it was in no better situation. We might as well do something. So they got up. And they went to began to go to the other army. And church, it should have been the king. It should have been some other people taking place. But God uses people unlikely that we don't think he should use at times. Amen? These four lepers, they didn't have the name. Bible just says four lepers. They went, they weren't supposed to be leading, but they began to lead. They set out for the enemy's camp, and they found that it was empty. The Lord had caused the enemy in the middle of the night to hear a sound like the sound of a mighty roar of chariots. And they thought the king of Israel had hired other armies to come and help them. And so they got up, and they left in the middle of the night. They didn't even take their supplies. They just took off. Because they were in so much fear. They left everything. And there's so many points to preach in these chapters here. When God comes on the scene and says enough is enough, church, the enemy will flee as fast as he can, amen? When you're going through a situation and the enemy is pounding at you and you've about had enough, when God says that's enough, the enemy will flee. And he'll leave behind everything, amen? That's what had happened. This enemy had just got up in the middle of the night. They heard what they thought was rushing chariots. And they fled. Left everything. Food, wine, clothes. All kinds of military equipment. They left it behind. The Bible says the four lepers just walked into the enemy's camp. And they began to eat and drink. And have whatever they wanted. And remember, the famine had been going on for 7 years. Food was scarce. And here they were. They were able to walk right into the enemy's camp. And begin to dine and eat of what they wanted. Not only with the Lord, did the Lord show up, and he'll show up on your behalf, but he'll put the enemy to flight, but he will give you the spoils as well, church. When the Lord says enough's enough, he will defeat the enemy, and he will give you the spoils as well. Amen?
Yes,
at first, they decided to hide their spoils. Then they began to feel guilty. So they thought, you know what, we need to go back and we need to share this good news because other people in the town haven't had it like we have had it now. So we're going to go back. And they went back and they told the gatekeepers. And word got back to the king in the middle of the night that they had found this Armenian army deserted and they had found all these spoils. And he just gets up and he says, sounds like a trap to me.
and he doesn't even, kind of nonchalantly, doesn't even do anything about it. But one of his officers told him, well, we might as well send out a scouting team and go out there and just check it out. What's it going to hurt? So he agrees to this, to send him out. And the scouts go out, and they find a trail of clothing and food and equipment all the way to the Jordan River. That's how much God had chased them away, church. They just dropped everything and left the trail. When God defeats the enemy, he just drops ducks' tails and runs, amen? And he'll leave whatever behind. They reported back to the king instantly, just like that. The prices of the market dropped down because there was food. There was good news. No longer was there an army besieging the city. Now there was food. Remember, 24 hours. Remember, the officer said, there's no way that will happen. If God opened up the storehouses of heaven, there is no, the windows of heaven, there's no way that's going to happen in 24 hours. And it already happened. Prices began to drop. The king approached and he appointed this officer that had opened his mouth and had mocked Elisha in his message. He had appointed him to control the traffic that was going at the gate because people heard the good news that there was food and there was clothing and there was all kinds of stuff and the army was defeated. So they began to rush out and the king appointed this man to be head of the traffic of the gate. And there was such a mad rush to run to the enemy's camp and collect the spoils that they literally ran him over and trampled him to death. Second part of that message came true.
Yeah.
He got to see it. He got to see the prices drop. He got to see the people get excited. He got to see the hope of the future. And then he got to witness the pain as he was trampled over when he needed to taste it. Can you imagine being that close, church? Could you imagine tonight serving the Lord and then getting out and getting lost and standing before the Lord in heaven? That would be just the same way. Getting to see it, but not getting to taste it. How painful it must have been for this man. He's an unnamed official. You don't get to know his name. He got to see the prices go down, see the famine end. There was plenty of food, but he didn't get to eat it. Church, the Lord never fails. His word, the written word, the spoken word, his promises will never fail. Never fail. You can take it to the bank. It is solid gold. His word is the truth. He will never fail. This world will fail us. People will fail us. Our husbands, our wives. Everybody will fail us at one point or another because we're human. But God will never fail us. No matter how crazy or hopeless the situation is, the Lord never fails. Again, when it doesn't turn out the way we want to. Even when a loved one goes on to be with the Lord, sometimes that's not what we want. That's what not what we want here because we're human and we love. Sometimes God's got a better plan.
Yeah.
And his ways are higher. Even though we don't want to accept it or we don't understand it, we got to realize that he never fails. Even when a loved one goes on, when we've prayed for him, he's got a better plan. And like we said a while ago, one of these days we're going to see him again because we have a hope.
Yeah.
We have a hope, church. Yeah. These last 2 or 3 months, that's what I've had to cling to with the passing of my brother, is that God, and can I be honest with you? When I first got the news from my mom, I ran into the bathroom. I said, God, how can this be a part of any of your plan? Yes. And my wife heard me and she said, I don't like what you said. And it was just a raw, raw moment. How could that be part of your plan, God?
Right.
But church, we don't have, sometimes we just have to trust him.
That's right.
And we trust his record. And his record is undefeated. And his plans are undefeated. You may not feel him if you're going through a situation. You may not feel him. You may not see him. You may not even feel like you're close to him, church. But you got to trust. You got to trust that he'll never fail you.
Yes, sir.
However you can trust, you can trust him tonight. You can trust him in everything that he says because his promises are true. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, and to the glory of God by us. Look at his record, church. I know I said that tonight, but I want to hammer that home. You know, we look at records. Brother Tom and I love baseball, and I like statistics in baseball. Ever since I was a kid, I loved to turn around a baseball card and look up statistics. And I can still tell you certain players their records and their batting averages. But if you want information, you look up somebody's record. Look up God's record tonight, church. Where do you find that information? You find it right here in the Word of God. And it's undefeated. His record is undefeated. God never fails. God promised Abraham when Abraham, he was going to make him a man of many nations, a father of many nations. He promised him that he would have a son. And yet, him and Sarah had been married for several years and nothing had happened. He was 100 years old, approaching 100. She was approaching 90 and still no son. If ever there was a time to give up, it was then. But God made it happen. Amen, church?
Yeah.
He never fails. There was a time, right, and then sometimes it's right before midnight hour. Abraham and Sarah, it was probably past midnight. If you understand childbirthing ages, it was way past it. But he came through. And a son was born. Yes. Remember when Lazarus was dead 4 days. Martha and Mary didn't understand. And Jesus tarried. Why did he tarry? He loved Lazarus. He was upset that Lazarus died. But there was something better to come. He was to get the glory. And after 4 days, they even said, Lord, don't even open that grave because he stinks. And sometimes things stink, begin to stink, and we think, it's not going to happen.
Yes,
but God is faithful. And his promises are faithful, church. And it will happen. So no matter what your situation is tonight, the Lord never fails. Not one time. No matter what you're walking through tonight, church, and it can be pretty scary, it can be pretty hairy, and it can be pretty desperate. But listen, the Lord will never fail you. No matter what it looks like, the Lord will never fail you. No matter how dark the shadow of death it is, the Lord never fails. And church, we're going to have to walk through some shadow of death. Amen? We're going to have to walk through those things at times. But you can rest in the fact that he will come through. He will show up and he will bring the victory tonight, church. No matter what you're facing, he will come through. When the enemy whispers in your ear tonight, where is your God? Where is the one that you call upon? Where is he? Is he late? Is he slow? Is he not coming? You ever hear that from the Lord when you're going, or from the devil? From the enemy whispering in your ear? He loves to do that. He loves to get you to doubt. Where is the Lord? He should have come upon the scene by now. Just remind the devil that God's record is perfect. There we go. Back to the record. Reminding him that he's never failed. And I don't know how he's going to take care of this situation. I don't know how he's going to heal this situation in my body or this situation at work, whatever it may be. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I know the record. I know God's word. I know his promises. I know several people that he's come through time and time again in the midnight hour. I know in my personal life that he has come through time and time again. Even when I didn't think he would, he showed up, church. I know times when he's healed my body. I know times when he's healed my physical and my kids' body. I know times when he's healed my marriage. I know times when he's provided food.
Yes, sir.
And money when I didn't know where it's coming from. I know that record. So when the enemy begins to whisper to you the next time in a weak moment, get out your Bible, get out your sword, and hit your knees and remind him that God's record is undefeated, that his track record is perfection, that he has never failed you and he will never fail you.
That's right.
Amen? Not one time has he failed, and he will never fail. Your situation can change just like that.
Amen.
Just like these people. Christmas came, he'll come back. These people, 7 years, have been facing this. It's desperation. They were starving. They were going mad. They needed help. They needed relief. And in 24 hours, the need came. God met their need. God used people that nobody thought he could use. And people that doubted him saw what happened and they suffered the consequences for doubting. Church, we live in a world that doubts us. We live in a world that says we're just stupid, we're just old-fashioned, we're just crazy fanatics, but that's okay. That's okay. Because we serve a God that never fails. I tasted the world. I've tasted that world, and it's not very good, but I've tasted the Lord, and he is good. Amen? He fulfills me. I've tasted the world, and it runs out. Amen? Just real quickly, you know the story in the Bible when Jesus went to Cana, and he turned the water into wine for the quest of his mother. And remember what the governor of the the wedding said. He said he tasted it. When Jesus turned, he got the water pots and he turned the water into wine. And he said, normally, the person of the feast, of the wedding party, takes the good wine first. And then when everybody's drink, they give the bad wine. He says, you've saved the best for last. You know what? That's what God does, is he saves the best for last. When you taste the world tastes good at first, if you admit it. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. It tastes good, but soon that runs out. It's got a time limit. It's got an expiration date. Church, when you taste of the Lord, just stand with me. We taste of the Lord. He doesn't have an expiration date. Amen? He's not like sour cream or milk. He'll go curdled. No, ma'am, no, sir. His promises are forever. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, you'll realize that his promises are yea, amen. The Lord never fails us. A country's whole economic situation changed in 24 hours. A famine of 7 years ended in 24 hours. Remember tonight, church, he never fails you. Will you pray? Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. I thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you that you never fail, not one time, never. Track record is perfect, Lord. You are undefeated. Lord, even in the midnight hour, you come through. Lord, I praise you tonight. And Lord, I pray over these next couple minutes, Lord, that you would have your way. Lord, that you would speak to your people. And Lord, mid hearts touch people's lives. In Jesus' name, if every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder tonight if maybe you're going through a situation. Maybe you're going through, you don't have to tell me what it is. You don't even have to tell anybody. But you're going through a situation and you feel like God's not going to come through. And maybe it's too big for God. Maybe you're feeling kind of like the fish oil and said, there's no way that can happen. Tonight I want to invite you to come down to these altars and begin to give it to the Lord. And taste and see what the Lord can do. Try the Lord. Give it to the Lord tonight. Is there anybody in this building tonight? Maybe you're going through a situation. And you just need a little reminder that the Lord never fails you. He will never fail you, no matter what your situation is. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's struggles. Who knows what it is? It's between you and the Lord. But you know what it is tonight. Anybody else tonight?